Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected, would you feel scared, proud, relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow. Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet-to-be. For a 45-minute complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
What if we, what if you, what if I all loved each other? It would be enough. We can do if we could choose. Love each other. There is no mountain could stand in our way if we all chose love.
rather than complain about what others are not doing, if we just say, let's tap into that essence of love within us, we can really find out how powerful we are. We can remind ourselves why we're here, to evolve. It's all about spiritual evolution. What if we love one another? And even when you have a thought, saying, well, I don't mind loving others, but, you know, others won't love me back. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. It's all about a shift in consciousness. Troy Horn. What if we find out more about Troy? His website address is troyhorn.com. Troy, T-R-O-Y. His last name, Horn, H-O-R-N-E.com. Welcome to the House of Love. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to yourself first and then tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired, because that's what it's about, inspiration for you, for self, for all of us. We inspire the change. And sometimes the change can look kind of scary. Sometimes it makes you feel confident because you see what you're praying for, asking for, evolving and unfolding. Yeah, but sometimes you're like, I'm going through change and I don't know what the heck to do. Just hold on. Hold on a little while longer. Hold on just a little while longer. hold on just a little while longer. Everything gonna be all right. That's right. Everything gonna be all right. Yes, as we honor our ancestors, the truth that goes deep. Just hold on. I've spoken to a lot of people lately, and I know that to be true for myself, where people say, you know, I've been going through a lot, but you know, it turned out, I thought it was going to be really going to mess up, but it really turned out okay. Yeah, how do we develop that faith when we're going through something? We can just say, I know it's going to turn out okay, and we won't trip. But who knows? Maybe part of the tripping is what helps us to develop the spiritual muscles. But, you know, as long as we have the option to trust, we can trust and trip. I don't know if you can do both, but trip and trust, trip and trust, and then trust and trip, just go back and forth. Because, you know, there's a divine plan for your life. And the fact that you're here is an indicator that you said yes. The fact that you're listening is an indicator that you're ready to take it to a whole new level. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. LifeConversationsRadio.com. I am your host. I am your host. I am. That's right. That's it. But if you don't get it, I am your host, Life Coach Ade, the Metaphysical Rebel. And so this will give you all the other titles that I go by because I like titles. Or maybe because I'm just one with the one. I am all that God is. I just want to take this moment, this time, to honor a wonderful spiritual teacher, a light worker, a light mover, someone who recognized her mission and went through all wonderful challenges of drug addictions and partying and all the things that come that we usually look down on to get to a point where she can tell us, listen, it's okay to embrace your dark side. Debbie Ford, who made her transition a few days ago. She's the author of one of the books that I love that really just shook me up was, The Dark Side of the Light Chases. Now we run towards the light. We run towards love. We run away from negativity because we don't want to embrace it. But sometimes we got to look at the things we're running from. Because the things that we're running from actually simply has a message for us. And Debbie has completed her mission, and she's released the body, and now she's taken to a whole new level. And now maybe it's time for us all. You know, maybe she can work even on a broader level where we can embrace our shadow. She's also the author of The Shadow Effect. Debbie Ford, so long. Enjoy your journey, and thank you for assisting us, assisting me. I know that book, The Dark Side of the Light Chaser, slapped me back to reality because I was running for the light, running away from my darkness, and she said, no, boy, go back. Today's topic, today's theme is spiritual evolution. Our guest, she's not a guest, she's our sister, she's our friend. She is one of my spiritual midwives. I have two spiritual midwives, and they actually connected. They work together at Bev and Deborah Johnson. She's going to be joining us soon, and I'm grateful she's here today because I'm birthing something. I don't know what it is. So I just breathe out. Breathe and push. Breathe and push. Let's do an announcement. Okay, maybe not yet. Celeste is busy right now. What else do I need to tell you while we wait for Celeste? I want to welcome all of you in the chat room. Cheryl, nice to see you. Silent listeners disguised as guests, welcome all. Joyful Tamara Joyce, nice to see you. Welcome home. Yvette, welcome, welcome, welcome. Those of you listening on the phone line, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the change, part of the spiritual evolution. Because we certainly, truly do need each other. So your soul salvation is linked to mine. And so thank you for tuning in to yourself. And those of you listening to the archive, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you. We appreciate you for listening, for being the change you want to see, for being part of a movement. And I'll say be part of a movement consciously, because the movement is moving. You just got to decide if you want to hold on or you just want to flow, keep flowing with it. And we want to honor and acknowledge our listeners on Within Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Let's do an announcement in my Lord, what is going on? I'm so glad Reverend Deborah is here today. Whew. Okay, just breathe and push. All is well. Hey, Celeste, how are you doing?
I am great, Life Coach, today. So appreciated your special words to Debbie Ford. And I know that Reverend Deborah Johnson is in the house. So this is going to be very quick announcements, because I told her we are ready to spiritually evolve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm ready to spiritually evolve and allow what I'm moving through, what it is. I don't know what it is. Yeah, let's bring it on.
We say yes. All right, let me get to it so you can have your spiritual midwife join you.
Is that again?
I said, let me hurry up so you can have your spiritual midwife join you.
Yes, I'm birthing something, so.
I know. All right. Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find Life Coach Today right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach a Day. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach a Day and Reverend Johnson can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or you can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Also, you can email Life Coach Today any time of the day, and he will answer your questions on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachaday.com. You can also email him if you have a topic you would like Life Coach Today to cover for an upcoming show. What has you curious? Let's get Life Coach Today's perspective on what you see moving and shaking in the world that is impacting you. The theme for the month of February is Loving What Is. And we have wonderful guests coming up that will help shift you one conversation at a time. Tomorrow, Life Coach Today is flying solo to remind you that you are enough. We also have exciting shows on Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to go to LifeConversationsRadio.com to find out more about the play experience with Mbasa Safera, Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson, and Life Coach Today, and the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan, myself. Also, the Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. No amount is too small, and we thank you for being a blessing. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Thank you, Celeste Morgan, the lady with the voice.
My pleasure. Have a great show.
Your nickname is getting longer. Spider Woman, lady with a voice. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate you.
My pleasure.
Yes, you are. Listen, sir, stop it.
Sue, sir, with love. Go with your show. Bye.
I got it.
Good.
Life is good. It's getting better. You are indeed listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show where change is happening, and it happens every time. And I don't even know. Sometimes I want to have my experience, my private space. I get to have it out loud. Yeah, okay, I'm resisting. All right. But I got my spiritual midwife here, so it's okay. So let me just pull the Kleenex closer to me. This show has been brought to you by Kleenex. Okay, let me pull up the bio and a little thing, some things I need to do here. And let's listen. We're taking your calls, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. For your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears, your disagreement, your disbelief, we welcome it all. This is the House of Love. We have set the intention to support you on your transformation. So whatever you're moving through, growing through, or going through, we're here to help you dissolve the resistance so you can allow your greatness to flow through. Okay, so let's do here. Let's go here. I feel like I want to go bump, 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 bump. Reverend Deborah Johnson is the founding minister and president of Inner Light Ministries, an omni-faith outreach ministry dedicated to teaching the practical application of universal spiritual principles to all of life's circumstances. She is also founder and president of the Motivational Institute, an organizational development consulting firm specializing in cultural diversity, serving the public, private, and non-profit sectors. She's the author of the latest book, latest Bible, called The Sacred Yes, Letters from the Infinite. And if you don't have one of that, you need to get into the Word and get you one. She's also the author of Your Deepest Intent. She's a beautiful soul, a beautiful human being. Her words heal. Her presence is just takes you to a whole new level. And she has a way of opening you up to something greater than you've ever imagined. I am grateful to have my spiritual midwife, my friend, Reverend Deborah Johnson. Hello, Reverend Deborah Johnson. Good morning to you.
All the fanfare there, huh?
That's right. They're happy.
How are you doing? Good day.
Oh, good day. It is good. I'm moving through something. I don't know what it is, and I just there's a part of me that wish I'm not doing the show today. A part of me is saying, yeah, right.
No, I understand. You know, there's such synchronicity in life. I have been so tied up. I haven't paid any attention to the news, so I didn't even know that Debbie Ford had made her transition until I called into your show a little while ago, and then you mentioned about the movement, and the movement needs to keep moving, and I just have to share this. This weekend, I was teaching at Holmes Institute, which is the religious science seminary that I graduated from. This is another branch campus, and I was commissioned to teach this particular class by the academic dean, and the class was literally keep the movement moving. and that's what I was teaching Friday night and all day Saturday was about what do we need to do to make sure that we stay a movement and don't become just institutions or theologies or philosophies. And I have a deep affinity to movements. I consider myself a movement gal. And I use Debbie Ford's work in my own curriculum with my practitioners of higher consciousness that I train. We use her DVD called The Shadow Effect, which I highly, highly, highly recommend to everyone. I haven't checked out her website lately, but the website also had another version, an interactive version, like an online version, where you could stop the DV as it was going along and do the work. And it's the only place that I know of that was providing an opportunity for you to do shadow work in a virtual kind of an environment. And, you know, all props, all praises. That's a very, very, very good legacy and work that she has done, for which I am forever grateful. So, yeah, she's been one of my teachers, too.
Yeah, synchronicity. I love it. I love how things just kind of work out. And, you know, talk about the shadow effect, the shadow side, you know, I don't even know I know what I'm feeling. I can't put words to it. It just feels like I feel very raw. I feel very vulnerable. I feel teary-eyed, and I'm like, oh, God, not while
well,
I'm doing a show.
Because you're in the goo, my brother. After I taught there, I did three sermons at the Santa Rosa Church of Religious Science in California here, and I always have to do a different topic. If I try to do this exact same sermon three times in a row, I will go crazy trying to remember what I said before. And spirit just doesn't roll like that. And I was reminding them about, because the whole thing was about a new way of fasting, using spiritual practice to fast. And I was explaining to them that we forget that there is the touch me not phase. There is this time where we become like the goo in the metamorphosis period between being a caterpillar and a butterfly, or Jesus coming out of the tomb in a transfigured state that says, touch me not. You know, I am not yet ascended, lest I be dragged back. And that touch that's being used there scripturally is not to lay your hands upon something. It's to be influenced by it. The way that we might say something like, that was very touching, or I was very touched by that. And it is this delicate balance that we have to find between the two. I did a workshop right after those three sermons. It was a very busy weekend. I was using the feeding of the 5,000 as a metaphor about how to grow abundance. You know, and it starts off about how Jesus took his disciples, which are the faculties of the mind, you know, and he took them away, and he was in a high place, a mountaintop place. And you will always find this balance between Jesus is being the awakened Christ consciousness, being amongst the people, working with them, but then also stealing away to these places of solitude. Always. Yeah. There is, it's not either or. It's not we're on or we're off. We have to learn to stand in the end. And there are those times when we have to give ourselves a little extra permission to just be on meltdown. And that meltdown's not a bad thing.
Right.
It's not a bad thing. It's a necessary thing. And when we're in such constant motion and don't allow ourselves to be in meltdown, we do ourselves a disservice.
So true. Now, let me ask you this, because this is something that I'm working through, as I just shared. It's like, and I totally am in alignment with what you're saying about we got to give ourselves the meltdown. And there's a deeper knowing in me to say yes. But there's a part of me to say, yeah, right now. There's a part of me to say, meltdown is good, but can it happen after the show or another time when I'm not doing the show?
Sure.
There's a part of me that feels like resistant, like I don't want to do it now. But what I'm feeling is so strong that my mind can't even fight what I'm feeling. And the best healing I can give myself, the best gift I can give myself is to confess what I'm feeling. If I try and pretend it's not there,
it would really mess me up. What's really is that about? We know deep down what the truth is, but somehow
the thing is,
is that
you are both.
You're actually
all three. You're the mother, you're the baby, and you're the midwife. And the birth of the baby is so urgently imminent. The baby just doesn't care. Babies don't give a rat's behind about their timing.
Right.
Or what's going on. The baby will kill the mother in the process of coming out if need be. It just doesn't care. They don't care whether you're in the airplane or whether you're driving or in the elevator or or you're not supposed to be there for another 3 weeks or you're 5 weeks overdue. The baby just doesn't care. And that's how it is in life, that divine ideas have their own gestation period, just like plants. Like some plants take a little while to grow, some plants take a longer while to grow. But when it's time, it will not be denied. A blade of grass will push through the crack of a cement sidewalk. Life will not be denied when it's ready. You know, you like most of us, are just under the illusion sometimes that we can either control the process or that somehow or another our plans make a difference. Yeah, I love that joke. You want to make God laugh? Tell God about your plans. There's nothing convenient about the journey. And we have to become less and less attached to our plans. We try to fit spirituality into our plan. Our plan of the day, this or that, and I remember this wonderful spirit letter where spirit was saying, who's helping who here? You pray as though you want me to jump into your day and help you. You praying to me to help you do everything you have to do. Excuse me. You should be waking up and asking me. What is it I want to have done?
Okay.
And how can you rearrange your day to accomplish what I need to have accomplished? I'm not here to help you fulfill your plans. You've got this all wrong here.
I'm so glad you're here today. I'm so glad you're here today. Oh, gosh.
See, you're deep. The people on this show are deep. We're here by divine appointment. I don't care when anybody listens to this. We're all seekers. We're all searchers. We are all travelers. And we have to learn to enjoy the journey. That's all that it is. It's just a journey. There is no arriving. Like the spirit letters say, you're so busy trying to get from point A to point B, just to find out when you get to B, it's just your new A. There's no arriving. I love the way that Lao Tzu puts it in the Tao Te Ching. Is the good traveler has no fixed plans and is not intent upon arriving. When we're busy trying to get somewhere, we miss the scenery along the way. But the scenery is the journey. I remember telling my congregation, I don't know, about 6 or 7 months ago, about how I would get all mad. Now, here I'm a minister, right? I get all mad that people and all their problems were getting in the way of my day and all the stuff I had to do. And that spirit voice said, you think people are getting in the way of your path? People are your path. This is it. It's like, I had to kind of laugh at myself. I'm talking about doing ministry and then perceiving people being in ministerial need as a problem.
It's like a doctor complaining that there are too many people in the emergency room. They've
exactly.
broken their leg. They need to be more careful and should drive slow down. But it's really understanding, you know, what it's really about, what the work is really about. You know, what you said, I want to go back to what you said about God saying we're trying to fit God into our day, into our own plans, into our own activities. How do we take that when God says, no, come to me and ask what is the plan for the day? How do we bring those two together when we are moving through something, when we are challenged, when then there's a breakdown, when there's a relationship breakdown, or just things that we say we don't like?
I would suggest
we pray and ask, God, help me, or God, what should I do?
For what I would suggest that you do, that all of us do, I use a lot of sports metaphors, particularly basketball, because that's my favorite sport. If you're a professional basketball player, you work out. And you work out practically every day. Your drills are quite controlled and structured.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you go for precision. The passing, the layup, the free throw, the dribble, okay? You're very deliberate and you're very controlled to develop a skill set that can then become quite fluid.
Mm-hmm.
You have a game plan, theoretically, what you think you're going to do going into the game, but you don't know what's going to happen in that game.
Right.
Moment to moment, you have to go with the flow. That ball is constantly changing hands. Mm-hmm. What you bring is not control of the game.
Mm.
You bring control of yourself.
Mm.
You bring your skill set. You bring your adaptability. You bring your willingness to shift and to change and to read the environment and to be present. You bring your A game. But like Phil Jackson, formerly with the Lakers, used to always say, let the game come to you.
Huh.
Don't chase after the game. Every game has its own rhythm. And you can't just like race out into the game. You need to feel the game out a little bit to see what's happening this game. Well, it's the same way with life. It's that we need to develop skill set. We need to develop the capacity to be still. We need to develop the capacity to be discerning. The ability to be flexible, to release attachments when suddenly the ball or the game shifts. You know, we have to determine we have to develop the tenacity not to give up when you're 25 points behind in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, keep your eye on the prize. Those are all things that you need to show up with already. You don't wait to get in the game to develop those.
Right. Right.
Mm. So it's that way with life. We need to do our spiritual practice. But are you there to just work out in a controlled environment? or are you there to play the game with all of its nuance and surprises? Some of us act like we want life to just be the scrimmage. We want life to just be the gym.
Mm.
When I, well, there's something here, that idea of, I like that analogy because it does help us look at life differently. And I think it even allows for the opportunity that we may win the game or not today.
Right.
But
and it doesn't make you any less of a player right. or better of a player. Mm. And you learn.
Mm-hmm.
Your losses make you better because it makes you go back. You look at the footage. You see where your missed opportunities were. You see where you were over-anxious. You see where you tried to control it. You see where you didn't play well together as a team.
Mm-hmm.
You see where you broke concentration. You see where you lost your temper. You see where you didn't bring enough hustle. So you can be corrective.
Yeah, I've always heard them say life is a game, but you sure brought it in a whole different way that I hear it. And there's so much for me, I can relax into it from that perspective. I just keep reminding myself. And it's like being easy because there's always something moving. And I like when you said, you know, it's not to control the game, but to be in control of myself. And then I get to show up. I get to show up. If you're just joining us, my guest is Reverend Deborah Johnson, which is the author of The Sacred Yes. And Your Deepest Intent, her website address is innerlightministries.com, innerlightministries.com. We're taking your questions. If you want to join in, if you've got questions, if you want to join in the conversation, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. The theme, the conversation today is spiritual evolution. And Reverend Deborah, on your website, you have...
You know what, Ade?
Yeah.
I hate to do this to you, but I have an emergency that I have to tend to for just 2 minutes. May I
okay.
end this and get right back to you? I'm very sorry.
Oh. No, all is well. We'll keep
okay.
playing the game. All right.
I'll be right back.
When you're back. Okay. That's, I mean, talk about, I just love this thing called life. You know, it's just, this is it. The game continues. So, yeah, the theme today is spiritual evolution. And Reverend D has something on the website which I'm going to read. Let's see. We could. Celeste wants. No, yeah, we could do Celeste for a moment. But let me read this thing and I read it again with them. I love Reverend Johnson. Yeah, that's what Yvette said. I love Reverend Johnson. She is. I mean, she's just an amazing woman. Okay. Stand by, Celeste, because don't do Celeste for a moment. But I want to read this. And maybe I just read it when she comes back. Yeah, I read it when she comes back. With just Celestial moment. Because actually, yeah, let's just kind of just take all that in. Just take it what she just shared about being on the court, being in control of yourself. And so let's take a break first. We'll take a break. I don't know. I might play a song. I don't know. We'll see. Let me see what happens by the time when I get there. And then we'll come back with Celestial moment. And then, oh, wow. I just saw something on Reverend Deborah's page, which made me go, wow. So, 347-426-3346, if you have any questions for Reverend B, Reverend Deborah Johnson, excuse me, post your question or comment or thoughts on the Ask Life Coach at a radio show, like page, Ask Life Coach at a fan page, like page, whatever, or the Life Conversations Radio fan page, like page, we'll get to it. Or you can interact in the chat room as you do, but we prefer if you have questions or something you want to share, post it on the like pages, the Ask Life Coach at a fan page or the Life Conversations Radio fan page, like page. But other than that, call in 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Now, what I'm going to do is let's take a break. We'll come back with Celestia a moment, with Celeste Morgan, and then do whatever comes next. And she'll be back. Yeah, let's do this. Carly Jackson is winking at me, and then we'll take a break. Carly, what say you? Which one do we want to play? This one. Carly Jackson.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation. 'Cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 Well, there is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
Indeed, there is no separation, we are one. And right now we're lifting up this situation, whatever it is going on on that side of our consciousness. And where is she again? I went blank. But wherever she is, she's with us. So we're lifting up Reverend Deborah right now in this situation, knowing that all is truly well. Divine order, divine order, divine order. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Celeste in a moment with Celeste Morgan.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimke Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Yes, indeed, make that move. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We are going to do Celestial Moment and come back with Reverend Deborah Johnson. Hello, Celeste. Welcome back.
It is great to be back, and I see so many beautiful people on the phone lines and in the chat room. Thank you for walking with us. That's a powerful conversation Reverend Deborah Johnson is dropping on all of us. I can feel the energy flowing through me at this very moment. It's amazing having her here, and I want her to know that there are people who are loving her in the chat room for her no-nonsense style, saying that it is refreshing.
Yes, it is.
I'm back.
Yes, welcome back. Welcome back.
And I so apologize for that. Unfortunately, that's kind of the life of a pastor. That analogy I was making about,
yes.
You don't know where the game's going to go, and you just you just have to be ready. Sometimes you're in the starting lineup. Sometimes you're on the bench, and you got to come in those last seconds and nail it.
But it's so beautiful that, it, you know, just what you're talking about, because, you know, some of us are so caught up in being perfect and doing it a certain way, but what you're saying, we just happen live, like, I got to go, you know, and that's it. It's just life is happening, and so I embrace it all. I embrace
and there,
it all.
You know, and there would have been another time in my life not so long ago when I wouldn't have had the nerve to do that.
Mm.
When sort of duty and responsibility and what is this going to look like and what I owe everybody else.
Mm.
And what I know is that there are certain moments that you won't get back.
Mm.
It's not to say that the show isn't important or that the listeners aren't important, but I have some folks transitioning right now in the mm-hmm. congregation, and it's that moment. It's just mm-hmm. that moment, you know, and that moment yeah. isn't going to be there an hour from now, you know, or mm-hmm. 2 hours from now. And I say that specifically in regards to things like, you know, caretaking. I've been through a lot this past year and a half with my folks. My father just passed away recently, or with child rearing, that we have this tendency to want to put things on the back burner. And many of my spirit letters have said that we do that with God, too.
Mm.
That it's, oh, well, I have this thing I'm working on and that thing I'm working on. And we make that urgent call from God, the last thing. And sometimes you need to stop what you're doing
mm-hmm.
and go answer that call.
Yes.
So to speak. Because there's something that is required or needed or whatever of you then. And it isn't necessarily that there's something for you to do but there may be something for you to witness. For example, maybe you're driving along and for just those 5 seconds in the car, you could see the rainbow. But as soon as you got further away, the angle was such that you couldn't see it anymore.
Right.
Or just that moment that you catch the sunset. And you, if you didn't do it right then, you'd have missed it.
That's it. Yep.
You know, so it's like you never know why you're being called to do something. And my mentor is Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith. I'm one of the founders of the Agape Center with him. He and I grew up together in L.A. And I love it. He says that another name for God is something. People are like, something told me, you know, something said, something in me knew. And it's like,
I'm feeling something. That's it. I got it. I'm feeling something. Yes.
I have to use that. I love it.
Yes.
I love it. I have to remind, actually, I probably don't have to remind you, Reverend Johnson, about this, but when you were talking, some of your words came back to me. I go back, I re-listen to when you were last here, and one of the things that you said was that we needed to be willing, and you said that we needed to move away from doing and focus more on being. And
yes.
When you described that moment of, you know, maybe, you know, you just caught the rainbow, and I think in that moment we're being, when we're listening to that something, we're being in the moment. And trusting the process. So those are words that you share with me, and you keep embodying it and sharing it over and over again, how we can be with life versus do life.
Mm. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. We're going to do a celestial moment now, and then we'll come back to you, Reverend Deborah.
Okay.
All right, thank you. What a moment. I felt like I was in a sacred circle. And I'm still in it, so thank you for that. That was so beautiful. What a treat. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift, and I trust that you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day equals 9. 9 represents the end of the cycle. It also expresses in tarot as the hermit. The hermit is the way shower through introspection. Once the hermit has learned his sacred lessons, he continues on his path, lighting the way for others he will encounter in the world. The hermit is astrologically connected to Virgo, and Virgo whispers that we are whole and complete all unto ourselves. 9 also shows up as the butterfly in medicine cards, and the butterfly's gift is transformation. The 9th letter of the alphabet is I, and words like intense, incognito, and intention connect us to the divine energy of 9. Now today, for a special treat, we are going to put the spotlight on the links of the medicine cards. Its number is not 9. It's actually 18, but when you add 1 plus 8, you get 9. So here we go. Lynx, you know the secret so very well, the dream time and the magic, but you'll never tell. May I learn to hold my tongue, observe like the Sphinx, powerful yet silent, the medicine of the lynx. Lynx medicine is an amazing tool for drawing information you need to you. Messages on your path are not always going to flash on a billboard. We are so hungry for information that we might even search outside ourselves for some type of direction, which only serves to keep us out of balance and ungrounded. And then it is difficult to connect. If Lynx is at your door, listen. Brother or sister Lynx can teach you of your personal power and of things you have forgotten about yourself. links can lead you to lost treasures and connect you to forgotten brotherhoods or sisterhoods. The links remind you to use your ears more than your mouth so you can restore order. Links teach us to trust the unfolding of your life with patience. Make the quiet your friend. We are invited to go within or go without. The choice is always yours. The truth is there are no real secrets, just things our level of consciousness can't truly see. Night vision calls for more than looking. The lynx is an excellent listener. With hunter eyes, he is not tricked into focusing on the illusion of separation. No, even in the dark, the lynx finds the gift of oneness. All is well. And that's the story of nine, told through the links of the medicine cards. I'll see you on Wednesday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Celeste. Appreciate you. We're going within. Go within or go without, huh? Thank you very
yes,
much.
Yes, sir. All right. I
Celeste.
Stop calling you, sir. Yes, Reverend Johnson.
You know, my birthday is on the 9th. It was just the weekend before last.
Oh, happy belated birthday.
I wanted to dedicate it to you, but something. I didn't listen to something.
It's more of that synchronicity there.
Wow.
Lucky nine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, then you are truly the links in my life. I really did hear it. You need to dedicate it. You need to dedicate it. I'm like, oh, I don't want to be so corny. And I didn't
this
listen
year,
to something.
I really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got to get you in the inner light somehow, both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. That would be such an honor.
Yes.
All
you
right,
work it
now.
Out.
All right, now I'm going to listen to something from now on. You have taught me. That is your gift. I'll make sure I send it to you.
All right, take it easy.
All right. Love you all.
All right.
So, everything, when people say, what you doing there, daydream? It's like, no, I'm listening to something. Oh, wow. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. My guest is Reverend Deborah Johnson and the author of The Sacred Yes. If you don't have it, go get it, period. Why? Because your soul wants you to get it. It will set you free, I promise you. And if not, I'll pay for it. You've got to get yourself a copy. And,
you know, I'm really pleased to say to the listeners, it's really quite an honor. If any of you have been following Yala Van Zandt's, you know,
yes,
big comeback with Oprah, that when Oprah
yes
started the OWN Network,
yes,
and she started having her Life Master classes, and she had she had a lot of heavy hitters on there with her. Deepak, I think, ended it, and Yala Van Zandt started it, and she actually was using my book, my way. She actually gave me a personal shout out and mentioned me by name, and the whole framing for that show, Feel, Deal, and Heal,
yes,
came from The Sacred Yes. She's been one of the big endorsers of that book, as have been a number of people that I'm pleased to say, including Carolyn Meese and Beckwith and Susan Taylor, you know, from Essence Magazine, and it's been really nice, the support.
Yeah. You know, people are talking about your no-nonsense approach, and that's what The Sacred Yes is just like that. I mean, there were times when I get so caught up in trying to figure out stuff, and I open the book, and it's just like, okay, this is a joke, right, God? You really knew I was going to open this page, and it just
everybody
so
does that.
Clearly.
Just nails you right wherever you open it.
Yep. And I've shared this with you before, but there was once, about 2 years ago, at least 2 years, if not longer. But anyway, I was struggling. I was going to do a workshop, and I was going back and forth and back and forth, and how much I have to charge, are people going to pay it? And I knew that this is something I want to do. I feel it inside of me, and I just got caught up in trying to figure out how am I going to charge for it. And then I opened the page, a section on authenticity, and there was a part that's saying, why do you measure your gift, something along the lines like that, why do you measure your gift based on how much you can charge for it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm just like, whoa, wait. I mean, I wanted an answer, then I got it, and it just threw me for a loop.
that one hit me, too. It's like, you know, why do you put your gifts on the auction block, you know, for other people, and pointing out, and it hit me hard because my academic degrees are actually in economics and political science. My MBA is actually in real estate finance from UCLA, so I have a very strong business background. And it was pointing out how in our economic system, nothing has value until somebody else is willing to pay for it. And the value that we ascribe to something is not what it means to us, but what somebody else is willing to pay for it. And that whole way that we conceptualize value gets in our way.
Yes.
Because we discount our own sense of internal value. And just because it means something to us is insufficient. Like, until it means something to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to pay here, page 152. It's smacked me. I'm like, okay, so I decide what I want to move forward. Yeah, I mean, the sacred yes, it's what you're hearing, listeners, is what you read. And you get to one of the, there's so many parts in the book. I can go on for a whole show. But even the part of the spiritual truth and personal truth, that is so liberating. Because we get caught up sometimes when we talk truth.
And if you go to my website, we have a special deal going on now where you can get both books at a discount, and we'll ship them to you autographed.
Oh, cool. And that is
at innerlightministries.com.
Okay, cool. And is it under the bookstore tab?
Yeah, you go in the bookstore, there's a special offer going on now. Okay. I happen to be doing quite a number of these kinds of shows, and we put something together.
Awesome. We got a caller. Someone has a question based on the analogy you were given earlier, and I kind of like it, actually. So, yeah.
Okay.
Before I read what's on your website, because I want to go to that. Tamara, spiritual midwife, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you? Thank you so much, Reverend Deborah, for being here.
Thank you. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Colorado Springs.
Oh, very good.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I really love your sports analogy. I am a huge football fan.
Okay.
So it really hit me really deep. But the question I have, and I'm hoping that maybe you can answer this for me, so much of my time, I want to be in the game and I want to play, but I keep myself on the bench, and I keep myself there a lot of times based out of fear. Can you address that fear, why it's so strong? I know what I'm here to do. I know how I'm supposed to do it, but that fear sometimes gets so overwhelming for me that I just stay on the bench.
Well, it's a conundrum for us. And I have to go back to that analogy about the caterpillar and the butterfly. It's the caterpillar that's sitting on the bench, and it's the butterfly that's calling you. But the problem is that in order to be the butterfly, you have to stop being the caterpillar. And it is this cycle of birth and death and birth. So our ego self just freaks the hell out. It's pretty much it. That surrender to the ego makes it feel like there's just death, like it's going to be annihilated. If we go over here and we do this, what's going to happen to me? And everything just feels so big, and we don't feel worthy. And what I know is that if your dream does not scare you to death, then your dream's too small. You need a bigger dream.
Yeah.
And all you have to do, literally, is just every day keep saying, I go. How can I serve today? What would you have me to do today? Don't worry so much about sort of like the big game and what does it all mean. One day at a time, one step at a time, what is before me to do today? Because it may not be about the game yet, per se. It may be still back in the gym. Maybe you're signing the contract. Maybe you're negotiating with your family about how we're going to handle all this travel stuff. Maybe, you know, there's all kinds of things that are going on and that are happening, you know, with us as quote-unquote players. Just what's before you today? So an exercise that I find is very helpful is at the end of the day, using the sports analogy again, you replay the footage, and I said you looked at the missed opportunities, you look at this, you look at that, and not for judgment purposes, but for corrective purposes. Just look at your day at the end of the day and really be honest with yourself and say, did I give it my best? You know, was there a time I could have been a little kinder? You know, could I have been a little bit more attentive? You know, might I have been a bit more forgiving? Could I have lent, you know, a better hand? Could I have done something with a little bit more excellence or intention? Was somebody trying to get my attention that really needed to have my attention, but I was too caught up in my own stuff to give them my attention? And just note those little things and say, tomorrow, I'm going to do better. Tomorrow, I'm going to do better. And just do a little bit of something then the next day. That really is all that it takes. It's not, how can I put it? If you look at history, the bigness is after the fact. You don't know that it's going to be big when you get started. Like when Martin Luther King stood up at 24 years old, the new preacher in town in Montgomery, and they made him head of the Montgomery bus boycott, there's no way that you can possibly know that you are about to change the course of history. But the bigness of it, you don't necessarily really grasp. You can feel sometimes that, oh, this is really taking me someplace. But be willing to be the goo. None of us want to be the goo. That metamorphosis, that place where the caterpillar just melts completely down. But coded within its DNA is what it needs to be the butterfly. And if you don't mind me telling a little bit about you, my brother,
that is, go ahead.
When he keeps referring to me as his midwife, I had the same conversation with him. We were at a conference, a revelation conference, Agape's Revelation in Burbank. And he was coming to me with a whole bunch of different things. And I said, you know what? Your problem is you don't want to die. You don't want to just let go to be something else. And it hit him really hard. And there was a moment in the conference. I hated to out him. I haven't done that to somebody before or since. But I knew it was that emergent moment.
Yes.
And I just played the role of the facilitator healer, said, you are going to, it's now. The baby is crowned. Yeah. You are going to have your spiritual moment now in front of everybody. Because this has to happen right now.
Yes.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be dramatic. It can be simple. But at some point, we just have to say, okay, God,
mm-hmm.
Okay, I can't think about this anymore. I can't analyze this anymore. It's so not about me. Just take me.
You're taking me back. Yes, indeed. Just take me.
We get paralysis by analysis. So you're thinking on the sideline.
Yeah, you know, and you just hit on something for me, too, because all of my life I've had this huge fear of dying.
Mm-hmm.
That I've never taken risks. I've rarely had adventure in my life because I was so afraid of dying.
Yes. And we'll never know. Have you ever listened to talk shows or TV shows or something where people have had experiences of quote-unquote dying?
Mm-hmm.
or reading those kind of books, and they all say the same thing. They all say the exact same thing. And their conclusion at the end is that there is nothing to fear, that it was such a beautiful, wonderful experience. And it's like that. We have been... Don't let me get up on another tangent here, but we have been brainwashed in our Western society that takes all of the mysticism out of everything.
Yeah.
We have demonized darkness, and we have demonized death. But if you take indigenous cultures, they worship and they celebrate that yin-yang of life, where there will be dances about the winter, where the solstice is no less important, the winter solstice is no less important than the spring equinox, that there's this understanding of the cycles of life, and one has to end for the other to begin. But it isn't really an ending, per se. When you hold a piece of fruit in your hand, or even a seed, you know, in that piece of fruit is the lineage of everything of that fruit from all eternity. It's its fullness now, and it is its full potential in the future. And spiritual traditions will say over and over and over again, if we can get over this fear of death, we will find life. But in the fear of death, we don't live.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your thoughts and sharing your fear. We all get to grow. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. My guest is Reverend Deborah Johnson. Her website address is innerlightministries.com. Check it out, and you can check out the service on Sundays as well. It's archived. At there's so much on the website. And Reverend Deborah, I want to read affirmations that you have on your website, because one of the things, and I really want you to help us see how to blend the self with the us, the us's. You know, I say us, the united in spirit, because, you know, we need each other, and we also are reminded that we've got to do our own work. But sometimes there's a tendency to focus so much on the self that we don't move out and reach out to somebody else. And this affirmation I want to share, because it just speaks to what I'm feeling. It says, we welcome the big leg of our collective journey. We are forever creating our future by the choices that we make today. Humanity cannot do anything that humans are not. Encoded within us are seeds of greatness. We choose to evolve into our highest potential. We don't need disasters to give us permission to be generous and compassionate. I love that. Drama is optional. We unshackle our capacity to care. We unleash our willingness to contribute. We reignite the fire burning in our collective souls. We are proud of the legacy we live. The next seven generations we become today. That's what's happening now. But there's a tendency to still, for me anyway, let me just own it, that I don't think everybody actually quite get that. I just want to hear their thoughts on that.
About the seven generations or which part?
Well, the whole thing, just the whole thing about, you know, I know it's different affirmation, but this collective journey that we're walking on when we talk about spiritual evolution, and we're all in this together, there's this thing of thinking, okay, this is America here, there's Canada there, and there's Nigeria there, you know, but we are all in this together, and we sort of miss that connection.
I can hear Malcolm X. We've been bamboozled.
Right?
We've been bamboozled,
yes,
into thinking that on an individual journey. That's an artificial construct that's actually fairly recent in terms of history that has justified some of the socio-political economic structures that we live in now. But we are not living this thing alone. And we pay so much attention to individual consciousness that we forget that we are all contributing to collective consciousness. And the things that we see around us aren't there just because of individual consciousness. It's there because of the collective consciousness. So in the inner, so in the outer, so in the macro, so in the micro. And we have this idea that there even is such a thing as the individual. That's not true. There is nothing private about you. We are energetic fields. Energy cannot be contained. Even in our breath, we are all not only breathing in the same air, we're breathing out the same air that literally within our body chemistry, you can find the traces of anything and everything that has ever lived. What we consider to be something like race, from a DNA standpoint, counts for less than 1/1000th of 1% of our DNA. You think about all the drama that we've done around race, less than 1/1000th of 1%, which is part of the reason why we can exchange body parts. Black persons get a white person's heart. White persons can get a Latino's lungs, because we're the same. We're 97, DNA, we're 97% the same as a banana. But there are only so many elements. Our body is mainly water. There are only so many elements. We have the same composition as the earth. Metals and minerals, and it is this false illusion that we are somehow separate or independent entities. It's just not true. Even the language that you use to claim your individuality, that's not your individual language. And it doesn't even have any meaning outside of a collective understanding. When you play music or you listen to music, yes, you have a very personal experience of it. But you can't, like, write music. You don't own those notes. You're tapping into. When we create, we are tapping in and individualizing the creative energy of the universe. But it's not our individual energy. Just like you have limbs on a tree or leaves on a tree. The leaves are very distinct and different, as are the limbs. But they have no existence outside of their mutual connection to the tree. And we really have to get over it because it is stopping our greatness. Yeah. It's stopping us from understanding our purpose, our mission. We are communal animals. Darwin got a bad rap. We think of the survival of the fittest as an individual thing. It is not. Darwin spoke up over and over and over again about how systems work together, that the cells and tribes and whatnot, that they work together in community. And survival of the fittest was not about individual people, but it was about those cultures and those tribes and whatnot that learned how to adapt along the way to the changing terrain and the temperature and, you know, whatever it was that was facing them as a species in that moment. But it wasn't, we're not in a dog-eat-dog world. It's not, that's not the human existence.
I listen to you and I think of the book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. I think really that's what we do. You know, I remember when I read about our DNA, I mean, the difference is so, it's so small. I mean, small doesn't even describe it, that we got so common, we're similar, but the things that are slightly different gets in the way of growth, gets in the way of community, gets in the way of us working together. And one of the affirmations said something about, you know, we don't need disaster.
Right.
To you know, to be compassionate, to open up ourselves.
Right.
And I think it's all part of this. Somehow it seems to me that we're afraid to open up to be ourselves. And so with disaster, it's almost like we have this collective agreement that, okay, it's natural to be compassionate when other people are hurt. So now it's okay for us to show the real essence, our essence. How do we go about practicing, expressing, revealing our inner essence with or without a disaster and in our everyday interactions? Because I think that really speaks to vulnerability and intimacy.
Several things. One, it's a paradox. A paradox is when you have seemingly contradictory truths that are true simultaneously. And the spirit world is full of that.
Mm-hmm.
So part of this paradox is that on the one hand, we have to get outside of ourselves. We have to have a reverence for the greatness and the grandeur of life itself, where we live in such awe and wonder that we feel like the psalmist, you know, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Where you look at the flower, or you look at a baby, or you look at the sunset, or you look at the river or the creek or the ocean or the stars and the galaxies. I mean, you're just like, wow, it's so big. And you think about how teeny one of our little human incarnations is within the scheme of the whole universe, that we're just humbled at being able to be alive at all.
Right.
You know, that kind of majesty where the ego gets so checked that this is, oh, so not about you. That you
get over yourself.
You get the freedom to participate in something that is so much grander than you. And when we're looking at it from that transcendent place, you see that it's not just about you, that you see the wholeness of it all. You see the connection. You see the cycles of life. You see the babies being born and the elders dying. You see you see all of it, and you begin to feel yourself as part of a drama, that you're just part of a big drama. And then that's balanced paradoxically with this place of to thine own self be true, where you're more than just a speck of dust in the universe, that you personally have a divine pattern and purpose for being, that your life is significant. You're not just part of some cosmic dust, and that we have a reason for being here, and that part of the job of life is honoring that purpose and showing up fully. as if this life, your life, whatever this is you have been called here to do, is the most pressing, most compelling thing to get your attention. Now, I realize it sounds like a contradiction, but there it is, this sense of my life has so much purpose and meaning, and what's going on is so much bigger than my individual purpose and meaning. And I know the paradoxes are challenging, but the one that really stuck with me the most, it was so succinct. There was a poet, African American, out lesbian poet, Audre Lorde, out of New York. She was actually poet laureate of the state of New York. She died of breast cancer, I believe, in the 80s or something like that. And I loved her work, and I still have one of her sayings hanging up here in my home. When I dare to be powerful, to use my strength in the service of my vision, it becomes less and less important whether I am afraid. I just love that. And this paradoxical thing she said was, if you want to be my friend, forget I'm black, but never forget that I'm black. And it was like, I got it, you know, it. And I'm sure to somebody who wants the rule book, like, what do I do with that? but spirituality is like the cones, the Buddhist koan, where you have to think about it. And that's why Jesus taught in parables. He didn't just give you straight the answer. He gave you little stories and think on this. Think on this, because there's going to be nuance and seeming contradiction. And you have to be with it. We're in this society that wants the answers. We want to know what's right. And it's not about what's right all the time. It's about what is for you now.
Yes.
What was right for you at 15 isn't right for you at 45. It's not that either's right or wrong. It's what's before you to do now.
You were talking about Audre Lorde, and I was sort of thinking, I had something that written down here, because something that happens every year here and in England, this idea of Black History Month, which is celebrated in October in England and February here. And there's always this conversation, I know you've heard it, it's either, you know, Black History Month or African History Month, why are we even celebrating it? You get people say, why can't we have White History Month? Or why are we just focusing on race? Why can't we just be loving? And for me, I always feel like when people go into that, especially if there's a, I don't know, I've done shows about for the black boys, there will be somebody saying, well, why does it have to be black boys? Why can't it just be all the boys? And we are one. And there's a tendency to want to just kind of pretend that the trigger that we all feel individually doesn't exist, but we try and hide it. Like, don't think of me as black, but don't forget I'm black. So we just want to say, well, I don't want to think of you as black. I don't want to think of you as black. I don't even want to. I'm colorblind. How do we move through there when we talk about that paradox of recognizing the oneness, but at the same time, when we start viewing one another through our race and our culture, there seems to be things that trigger in us, and we sometimes want to go to the safety net, saying we're just one, we're one with God. How do
you know
how do we deal with that dichotomy? Go ahead.
I'm a professional diversity trainer, and there's one analogy that always seems to nail it. Cliff Notes version. My grandmother, my paternal grandmother, had a green thumb. She couldn't make anything grow. The gene got passed to my father, but it kind of stopped there. And she loved flowers. She just loved them. And she loved them enough to know what each of them needed. So she paid attention. She knew exactly what the roses needed and the lilies and the chrysanthemums and this and that. And me, like, plants are just plants. I'm just treating all of them the same. And what would happen is if you treated all the plants exactly the same, some would flourish and some wouldn't. And when I pose the question to, you know, the people I'm training, I say, which plants will flourish? And they say, like, well, the ones for whom that was, like, the appropriate environment. It's like, exactly. And saying, we're like plants. And that it was no sweat off her back to do something a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. That all plants need a certain amount of sun, you know, certain amount of moisture, so, but they don't all necessarily need the exact same combinations. So I explained to them that that generic love of humanity, that yes, plants are plants, like all plants have something, you know, in common. Yes, that's true. But that's only half the story. Because if you really, really loved plants, then you would see and appreciate their diversity. A florist doesn't grow just one kind of plant. A florist, a gardener, is enthralled. And when they do their garden, they're bringing in the variety and seeing the play off of the colors and the textures and the scents and all of the rest of that. Well, it's the same thing with people. You know, it's not just a single plant world.
So true. This is something that I've always thought of, and I want to hear your take on this. Still focusing on this plant, disguised as a black African-American, black, brown, all kind of titles that we have. Is I feel like part of the problem in America with race is because we haven't compassionately looked at what happened in the past and then to be able to embrace it. It's almost like because in the past it was too painful, let's move forward now. And of course, we all know we have a black president. I mean, come on. It's
well,
all over.
But
what are your thoughts?
But see, why is Obama black? If you can answer the question of why Obama is black, you will get the seeds of understanding what the dilemma and what the problem is here. His mother is white. His father was African from Kenya. He barely knew his father. He grew up with his mother and his white maternal grandparent. And yet the only thing anybody can say is that he's black. How did he get to be black with a white mother? Clearly, it's not genetic because he has half the chromosomes from his mother.
Right. Right.
So why isn't he white? His mother's white. Why isn't he white? Why does he have to be black? And the answer to that is that the construct of race is a social construct. It's not a genetic construct, and it's a social construct in which it is designed to have a hierarchical pecking order of race by species along the lines of purity. So white gets to be on the extreme of pure, and black is on the other extreme. So that once something intermingles with white, it stops being white. It becomes whatever the other thing is that it intermingled with. And then black is on the far extreme, where once anything intermingles with black, it's black. Tiger Woods' mother's tie. He's not considered tie. He's black. But anything that touches black is black. So black is this cross-section of the entire world. It's like anything that has intermingled at all with black is considered black. Part Asian, part Latino, part this, part white, blah, 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 blah. And when you can answer the question as to why has it been designed that way, why is that? Why does white get to be kept pure? So what happens with that, in terms of it being a social construct, in that design, we become this dysfunctional family where those of us, for example, just here in the United States, who are African American, know we're related to all these white people. You can look at most of our skin color and tell we didn't come here straight from Africa. But the construct, the way that we have designed white, allows for white not to believe that it is related or connected to anybody else. Gosh.
Wow. Wow.
So, you know, we talk about the slavery and, you know, people saying, oh, you know, you ought to blame us. But those are our relatives, too. No. It's like, you know, when you're embarrassed of slavery and, you know, these white people being slave masters and, you know, you think all white people are bad. Well, those slave masters are our great-grandfathers, too. They're ours too. You know? It's like we're all in this together.
Yes.
We're all in this together. You know, and one of these days we'll put down the shame and the blame enough to stand in this. You know, we're all in this together. And that's one of the things that I specialize in. Is helping us to get over it. And for the record, because I know we're about to end soon now, drop color blindness. Stop it. It is an insult. It is an insult. Telling people that they are invisible does not make them more endeared to you. Get over it. There's no virtue in colorblindness. It becomes ethnocentric. Because what it's really saying is just everybody's like me. Like, I only see me. And we're not blind about anything else. If somebody were to say, okay, well, describe that person, you would know whether they were 14 or 64. You would know if they were 4 feet or 6 feet. You'd know if they were blonde or brunette. You know what I mean? You would know, like, you would notice if they were blind. You would notice, it's like, you would notice virtually everything else about them.
Yes.
So why in the world would you not notice that one particular thing? And it doesn't make anybody feel better to tell them that I don't see you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not a way to be an ally, because then you don't have my back.
Right.
You won't even see what's going down. Because
you're blind.
You won't see it.
You're clueless. You're clueless. Reverend Deborah, I want to ask you this maybe in a minute if you can answer this, because you said something in no time. But it looks also that now we are sort of, in a way, coming to embrace others, the blackness, if you will. But the shame and blame game is somewhat moving to sexual orientation now. And I was saying to a friend the other day, you'd watch news media where somebody's been interviewed. I mean, it's like almost every day you're going to hear a host ask somebody else, I got to ask you this question. Are you gay? I mean, it's almost like something, I don't understand it, but I really just want to hear your thoughts, because it looks like even though we're slowly evolving from becoming more accepting, if you will, but we're now taking that shame and blame now into sexual orientation. Do you see it the same way?
Well, it's no doubt that sexual orientation is the new or the sort of latest hotbed of mm-hmm. public controversy and institutional, you know, discrimination. The Supreme Court now is reviewing a couple of the marriage, you know, cases. It's where the battles are. Somebody just sent me a link. The big church denominations are splitting in two. The United Methodist just duked it out. you know, they haven't come up against anything this big since abolition in terms of the divisiveness. It's like, yes. And I want to put a little different spin on it. Mm-hmm. And, yes, I know what you're talking about, because I've been doing a couple of Huffington Post Live shows about this based on some of the comments that Barack Obama made in his inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that what's driving the madness, and everybody just take a deep breath here, okay?
Hold hand.
What's driving the madness is very similar to what's happening with what we just talked about with race.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we have been stuck in this very binary thing of race, of having this polarity thing between black and white. And that's not to say that there aren't other races, but the construct of race is around this polarity, where even when all those other races intermingle with black, it's black. This extreme binary. And what's happening now is that there's so much intermingling that's happening now, the younger generations are rebelling against this categorization and classification and this notion of people claiming their mixed race heritage and not allowing somebody to say, well, you're this, you know, and ignore their mother's background or their father's background. That they are standing in the ambiguities and the complexities of it all and saying we have to get out of the simplistic analysis. Well, the same thing is happening with sexual orientation. That what's behind sexual orientation is not about behavior at all. What is behind sexual orientation is a very binary way of looking at gender. As though gender is just absolute male on one side and absolute female on the other side. Mm. And it's not. That hormonally, we are all these various combinations of things, that each of us has masculine, feminine. Everything in the universe has this balance, so to speak, of the masculine and the feminine. And what sexual orientation becomes about is the way that these various places of masculine and feminine hook up and resonate with each other. And quiet is kept. as much as we live in this idea of the heterosexual assumption as though it is just the given, everybody knows that it's not. They know that it's not so much that the public that is homophobic is afraid, kind of like the black-white thing, that if heterosexuality gets mingled any kind of way with homosexuality, it's going to stop being heterosexual. that they are treating sexual orientation the same way they do, like mongrelizing the race. Like we've got to keep this thing so pure because if it just touches, if a kid just even hears about homosexuality,
right,
they're going to run and be that. Well, what the hell does that say about heterosexuality then? Heterosexuality is so fragile that your kids can't even know that something else exists, or they're going to run to that. It's like, what is so compelling? What is it about homosexuality that is just so great and wonderful that nobody would want to be straight anymore? It really makes you wonder.
No sense. Yeah.
And the reason why I'm saying this is that even though we put it forward as though it is absolute male-female, it is absolute homosexual-heterosexual, it's not. And people are scared to death to discover that the majority of human beings are probably bisexual with the capacity to be in many different kinds of relationships as a natural tendency. So there's all of these laws and restrictions, not unlike Jim Crow. The Jim Crow in the South, well, not just in the South, but primarily in the South, was not just about stopping black people from doing things. After Reconstruction, the poor whites and the poor blacks started working together. And Jim Crow was to prevent white people from intermingling. It's to keep you pure and to keep you away. And what's at stake here is so huge because what is at stake is not about the gay people. In the marriage debates and arguments, of which I have been ad nauseum, they never care. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, they're a couple. They should have their rights and whatnot. But how does this impact us?
Right.
There's always the fear of the mongrelization. There goes the neighborhood. What's going to happen to us? And it's because there's fear that it's not solid. That this heterosexual supremacy bears no more weight than white supremacy. And people are afraid that the jig is up and that folks are going to figure that out.
Yes.
And lo and behold, what is going to happen when that supremacy factor is over? And Obama is the racist worst nightmare.
Yes. Yes. Indeed.
African man.
Mm-hmm.
With a nice little Midwestern white woman. And how he ever got elected with a name like Barack Hussein Obama, I'll never know.
Yes.
But he was the worst nightmare. Defiling the pure white woman. He is the mongrel. And people are just so afraid that with sexual orientation, it's going to be the same thing. That people are going to go, so what? He's brilliant. He's smart.
Right?
Why can't he be the president? The supremacy day is over.
Yes, as you put
it. And regardless of what anybody thinks about the election, that got proven.
Yes.
A new day.
The dawning of a new day. That's right.
And that's what's happening. That's what's happening around the sexual orientation thing.
Yes.
is that there is the sense of the dawning of the new day.
Yes.
And that that it's over. There was one thing the king said. He said, the days of segregation are over. That you can be certain of. The only thing uncertain is how costly the segregationists are going to make the funeral. And that's where we sit. The days of colonialism and imperialism are over. Europe knows that. America just can't seem to accept that. And the only question here is, how are we, as the last imperial nation, how costly are we going to make that funeral? And it's the same thing with the rest of this stuff. The days of the superiority of anything, racial, gender, patriarchy, heterosexism, whatever, it's over. The only question is, how costly are we going to make this funeral?
Yes, and so it is, and so we let it be, and we get to swallow our fears, and I want to thank you, Reverend Deborah. I love you, and I'm so grateful for who you are. It doesn't, those words just, I mean, they don't even quite do it for me, but I'll just say I'm grateful for your existence. Thank you so much.
And thank you for the work that you do in giving people like me a voice and an opportunity to reach folks. And I want to encourage people, if they want to know more, you know, go to my website at innerlightministries.com. That's INNERLIGHT ministries. And I also have a personal website, DeborahJohnson.org. That's the long way, Deborah, DEBORAH. My various speaking engagements and things are listed there. And we do live stream our Sunday services, and things are archived there. And you can check them out, or check us out on iTunes. Inner Light Ministries has an iTunes station there, and on YouTube as well. There's lots of ways to get access. And there is a special offer going on right now. If you go to the innerlightministries.com website and go to our bookstore, there's a special offer going on now for both volumes of the Letters from the Infinite series, The Sacred Yes and Your Deepest Intent, to get both of them at a discount price, promo going on for these shows that I'm on. And I'm autographing, too.
That's right. Yeah, and I have my autograph copy here. Thank you. Thank you very much, Reverend D.
You're welcome.
Yes, peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings to everyone listening. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Woo! That's it. It's a wrap. Yes. Do we want to make the funeral costly? We get to choose. We'll release the show with Ricky Byers-Beckwith and the Agape Choir, Blessed Always. We're blessing the journey. We're blessing the experience. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Be love. It's the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself. You deserve it. And be loved. Thank you all for listening. Those of you in the chat room right now, listening online, thank you, thank you, thank you. Blessed always as you go on a new journey. Don't forget to catch a view of the scenery. Forget your destination. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings. Blessed always. Agape Choir, agapelive.com.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.